We love coffee. There's no doubt about that.
Mm. I'm addicted.
Coffee dominates the world now. Everyone, how often do people say, oh, I've got to have a coffee before I can function or before I can do anything? Not ever. There are people listening that don't have coffee.
We hope my sister-in-law doesn't. In 10 years' time that coffee's really bad for you.
Wouldn't that?
Yeah. Oh, I'd be rooted. Yeah.
Who do we sue?
Rooted.
Oh, okay.
Stuffed.
Okay.
What?
It's all right.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, have to be now. Anyway, next week is International Coffee Week. A human behavioural scientist has put together this study. He studied many coffee drinkers around the world. And this tells you what you're like about. Now, I want you to think about what coffee do you order. So when you go downstairs to Freddie's Roo, what do you ask for?
I rotate a little bit, depending on sort of my frame of mind. I either have a long black or I just have a extra hot, skinny, flat white.
Yeah.
Okay. So long black, you're a psychopath. No, this is true. Potential psychopath.
Tell us what it really
I'm not making this up. Potential psychopath. Flat white.
Potential psychopath.
Now, this is what I ask for as well. I ask for a flat white. Sophisticated, single-minded, and this will shock you, outspoken.
Oh, yeah.
I've given up. I'm just having that right now.
If you ask for a mocha, which I think some of your friends like
what's
to ask for a mocha.
What is a
Our
mocha?
Boss, Matt O'Reilly, loves
Matt O'Reilly.
Yeah,
what's a mocha?
If you ask for mocha, you're the
bit
most
chocolate.
Sounds like a baby.
You're the most photographed. You're the one that photographs your food and your drink.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Instagram friendly, but you're the life of the party as well.
Okay,
I wouldn't say that about Matt.
If you ask for a latte,
yeah, that's me.
Well, Eidos, you're a connoisseur. Oh. You're middle of the road, and this is and you're boring.
Oh, right.
Don't say it's
better
your
than being a psychopath,
until...
mate.
I'll see myself out.
If you ask for an espresso, you're strong in character and you're straight talking. If you ask for a cappuccino, more adventurous, open minded, and you're up for a laugh.
Wow.
If you ask for iced coffee, you're a total misfit.
Oh, come on.
FQYC.
And if you ask finally, if you ask for a hot chocolate, it's all about me,
yeah,
and you're the most self-indulgent.
Right, okay.
There you go.
Anything if you ask for coffee extra hot?
Yeah, you are a tosser. That's... difficult to get along with. And they spit in it.
You've made that
Actually,
up.
If you ask for almond milk, which Loz has done this morning.
Yeah, what happens with almond milk?
You're a tree-hugging time waster.
I've been called worse.
You've heard the story. We're running dry on booze at the moment. Everyone's been sipping a little bit too much all around our world. And we know the Queen's got a fair supply at the moment as well. Remember, she got told to stop drinking by doctors at the moment. Yes, we heard that earlier. Well, maybe she can solve our shortage. We might get her to send over her supply. In fact, I think we've got her on the phone right now.
Hello, Liz. Good morning. Have you heard about the grog shortage here?
Hello. Yes, I've heard the liquor shops are drier than a dead dingo's donger. Well, I'll be all right. I've got plenty of booze here.
Right.
I would be more than happy, actually, to send some over in boxes. We've got 2021 vintage fruit Alexia.
Oh, nice.
Perfect for all you filthy Australian convicts.
You're fruity,
Alexia. Oh, Liz, are you much of a drinker yourself, Liz, or...?
Well, you know, I dabble. Since young Philip has passed, the only screws I get these days are corkscrews. Opening another bottle of some expensive wine that I'm sure you could afford, Roo.
I'm changing topic slightly. How's Prince Andrew getting on?
Oh, yes, him. Well, he has been a little bit down lately. Down in the basement. To be perfectly honest, he's the reason I bloody drink.
Yeah, he's caused you a few issues, hasn't he? Yeah, Liz, we heard that you declined the Oldie of the Year award. Why did you do that?
Well, it doesn't make any sense. I'm not that old, you know. I can still mount my trusty steed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I drink more than Harry. And I've had a few dances that are popping off on TikTok. You know, there's plenty of people who would take the award before me. Chris Dittmar, for instance. I'd pass it on to you, sir.
Okay, and I'd accept it willingly. Thank you. You know, we've got a suburb here named after you, Elizabeth. It'd be wonderful if you could come out and visit one day, Your Majesty.
What was that? Sorry, Elizabeth. Go to Elizabeth.
Yeah.
They want me to go to a lecture. Sorry, I think you're breaking up here. I'm going through a tunnel. I've got to go. Anyway, cheerio.
Thanks for tuning in.
The Queen. She's on fire.
That's a good get. The Queen.
Well, look, we said earlier we had a lot of international listeners. Queen's one of them.
She's on the listener.
We get the big guests on this show.
It's been good having Loz in the show, hasn't it, Dits?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
It's really added new dimension.
Yeah, another dimension.
Fresh outlook.
Sometimes three's a crowd, but not necessarily on this occasion.
Right.
She keeps us honest a little bit, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Keeps us on our toes because we can get a little bit set in our ways. And,
do you think so?
A fraction. maybe some more than others. But anyway, this is sort of how it started a couple of days ago. I had a little crack at Loz about some of her spending. $27 for lunch.
Yeah, but that was like, I cut it in
then
half.
Then you can't buy a house.
What? Are you trying to boomer me?
I just don't get how people do that. Anyway, I was having a crack at Loz about when she was a little bit crook. She got some burritos and a drink and spent $27 for just a little casual
Uber
lunch.
Uber Eats.
Yeah. And then you hear about the fact they haven't got enough money to do anything and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, she used the term boomered, which I hadn't heard before because I'm getting old. Anyway, she explained what the word, the phrase boomered means.
Being boomered is like when someone comes at you with their boomer advice. When you go to Christmas lunch, your uncle who bought a house for $130,000 in 1980, just sold it for $5 million, is sitting there chuffing on his cigar and he goes, "You really need to get into the market, love."
All right, so we got the understanding dits of boomered. Well, I'm here to say there's some good news coming for the millennials.
Oh, no.
All right? No,
yeah?
Good news.
No,
right?
Okay, but why don't I believe smiling. You?
Well, you should believe me. There's a wealth tsunami coming towards the millennials because of the boomers, whether they've been smoking cigars or just enjoyed the capital growth of their investments over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
A whopping $3.5 trillion.
Oh.
Is about to be passed on from baby boomers to millennials over the next 15 years.
Will that be enough or not?
All right, so just put that violin down for a second.
If I want to live in Burnside, maybe not.
Maybe not, you're right. But 7.5 million children, 7.5 million children are about to get an average of $320,000 each over the next 15 years because these boomers are about to pass on approximately 70% of their wealth to the next generation.
Are you saying that all I have to do is wait for my parents to die and then I'll be set for life? Is that the...
Well, you can knock them off yourself now if you're
if you can come to an arrangement earlier. Then
or you could be grateful that you're actually going to inherit $320,000 of their hard-earned money and say thank you to your mum and dad.
Well, the men in my family don't last so long, but the women live a very long time.
But they'll pass it on early. That's what they're
saying.
Right,
okay.
Do you need me to write it down and explain it to you as well as...
put it in an email. I'll get it next week.
If it's not enough, you can appeal to your mum and dad now to get a second job as well. They could do a bit of weekend work. Should mum get a cleaning job or...?
She did have a cleaning job for many years. It put us through private school.
You're going to be above the average then.
Enough of this bickering between us. We're a team here, but I'm just passing on the good news for you. So the boomers are actually going to... Is this reverse boom?
The reverse boom. No, I think this is even more boomering than the original one.
So keep smiling.
Yeah, okay. Right,
the boomers are delivering for the millennials.
Be nice to mum and dad.
Yeah.
Around this time on a Friday, Roo, we love to relive all the highlights of the show during the week.
Yeah, we love having a little bit of fun at our own expense.
The top five things we've learned on Roo and Dits this week.
Number five, thanks to Chris Dittmar's diligent commitment to reading science journals.
And I like my university research.
We learned a fun fact about redheads.
Anyway, the University of Prague have done a study on the fact that redheads are getting more action than blondes.
Come off it.
This is true. Yeah. There is a clause here. It's only the women. The men are.
Number four, we learnt people from all around the world listen to Roo and Dits.
We can see who's listening to us right now via the app, believe it or not.
So what we got?
There are 8 people in Macedonia listening to us.
Yeah, they're all Dacosses, though.
Yeah, that's right, Dakes. Morning, Dakes. Morning. Ghana. We've got 2 people.
Ghana what?
2 people in Ghana. Listen. In Africa, yeah.
Wouldn't have thought people in Africa were Ghana listen to the show.
Dominican Republic, there's one.
Right.
Cambodia, there's one. Cayman Islands, there's one person listening.
He's on the run.
There's one in Mexico.
One
in Mexico.
He can't change the channel.
Ay, el mundo es loco.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez.
Number three. Josh came in last week and got a Triple M tattoo on his foot.
Yeah. Triple M, have a look at it.
Tell me the pain level, Josh. You were wincing a fair bit at times.
Yeah, right above the big toe there on that bone. That was a raw spot.
Right on the bone.
We learnt hard man Ditz was not scared to get a tattoo,
even though the tattoo gun was shooting blanks.
No ink in this.
There's no ink.
But here we go, Casey.
Let's kind of sense what it feels like. Oh, a piece of cake. Oh, what are you all talking about? All you bikies out there, all you tough folks. Hell's Angels, bring it on.
Have a great weekend,
hey, Drew.
Everyone.
Drew, shit that hurt.
Number two. Breakfast radio shows like this run on coffee.
We love coffee. There's no doubt about that.
I'm addicted.
But we learnt sometimes coffee can also ruin the show, like when Ditz drinks it just before reading an ad.
A message from the Government of South Australia.
Tax time. Tax time 2020 has landed. Just had to swallow that coffee there. Tax time 2020 has landed at Bosch.
Or when someone spills their coffee in the studio.
Just having a clean up in studio.
Loz, who's done a hell of a lot of bar work over the years, has just knocked a drink over in the studio. Good work, Loz.
Or when someone knocks over a cup during the recording of an interview.
Paralysing anxiety attacks, the disdain of the British press, and the hatred of the local supporters. Someone even knocks over a coffee cup halfway through an episode.
It was that bad.
The coffee you drink really says a lot about a person.
If you ask for almond milk, which Loz has done this morning...
Yeah, what happens with almond milk?
You're a tree-hugging time waster.
Number one. Tuesday, Loz baffled the guys with her comment about boomers.
I got Uber Eats because I didn't want to cook. I didn't want to get out of bed.
$27 for lunch.
Yeah, but that was like, I cut it in
then
half.
Then you
win,
you can't buy a house.
What? Are you trying to boomer me?
I just don't get how people do that.
But
you're wasting money and then you whinge about not being able to afford to buy a house.
You're being boomered.
Yes, I am.
Now,
I'm
what
being
does
boomered.
That mean?
Wednesday, she explained it further.
In other words, we're baby boomers. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
When Ditz thinks boomers, he thinks Andrew Gaze in the 1996 Olympics Atlanta.
Quickly to Gaze. Oh, Elliot coming up. Gaze!
Being boomered is like when someone comes at you with their boomer advice. When you go to Christmas lunch, your uncle who bought a house for $130,000 in 1980, just sold it for $5 million, is sitting there chuffing on his cigar and he goes, you really need to get into the market,
Anyway, Roos spent 2 days coming up with a boomer comeback to slam dunk his argument to Loz.
There's a wealth tsunami coming towards the millennials because of the boomers.
Mm-hmm.
A whopping $3.5 trillion is about to be passed on from baby boomers to millennials over the next 15 years.
Will that be enough?
Are you saying that all I have to do is wait for my parents to die? And then I'll be set for life. Is that the...
Well, you can knock them off yourself now if you're
if you can come to an arrangement earlier.
Smash your parents, then you can smash all the avocado you like.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Ditz this week.
Sometimes you've got a decision to make,
haven't
you?
That's exactly right.
It's been a big week here on Triple M.
Yep.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Ruined Ditz for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
Oh, he's been on fire lately. In fact, last week was a world first. He liked the show.
He likes Squid Games. Now
yes.
Tit Shorten's even talking about it.
Good morning, Rudy.
Yeah, good morning to you, Ditz. Good morning to you, Roo, and good morning to you, Lozza, and to Haydos, and to all the crew. Is Tit Shorten on to Squid Game, isn't it?
Tit Shorten and Barnaby Joyce were having an argument over Squid Games.
Well, I'd love to see them in a game of red light, green light. See them explode under the impact of an assassin's bullet.
Red light is Barnaby's
head.
Barnaby's
like a red light. Yeah, that's right.
Let's get into the review. Enough of my political statements. Hello and welcome to Rudy's TV review. For those of you with only free-to-air TV, I apologise for reviewing yet another streaming service, the smash hit that is Apple TV's Ted Lasso.
Yes, this has gone crazy.
the corny American soccer coach that has taken the world by storm and who we've all taken to our hearts. I don't know whether I have an undiagnosed brain tumor or whether I'm going through male menopause, but I'm becoming more and more sentimental and empathetic. My wife Marta and I watched the final episode in Series 2 on the weekend, and I'm here to tell you that Nathan, and this is a spoiler alert for those who haven't watched it yet, Nathan, the assistant coach, is, as some of your incarcerated listeners might say, a low rat dog. You can fill in the blanks.
Oh, oh, really? Nathan.
Whoa. The great Ted Lasso, well, I think you're a f***ing joke. Without me, you wouldn't want a single match and they would have shipped your ass back to Kansas where you f***ing belong with your son, because you sure as hell don't belong here.
Oh, a little bit of get back to where you belong, where you come from. Of course, for those of you who are fans of Ted Lasso, you'll know that that is very hurtful with your son. He's estranged from his son because he's going through a marriage breakdown. So it couldn't be a crueler thing to say, and I'm sorry if that was a spoiler alert, but all Ted fans will know what I'm talking about.
Now, Ted is just nice to the whole world. How did he respond to that?
Well, of course, he took it on board.
Yeah,
he saw a man at his emotional peak, Ditz, who was having a real outpouring, a catharsis, if you will, and he just listened to it, and he was wondering, probably because he's a great empath, about what was going on in that man's life. Of course, trying to walk a mile in his shoes.
Yeah.
I think it's great casting, actually, because Nathan is originally of Indian descent, and most Indians, you know, play a meek and mild character, or a very agreeable or shy character, but this bloke's playing a real arsehole.
Mm.
And I'm sure there's Indian arseholes out there too, and they should share it round racially. There's arseholes in every race.
Yes.
Chinese arseholes,
yes.
Mongolian arseholes.
Yep. Dutch.
But Dutch arseholes as well. Don't you worry about that. Let's get back to Rudy's TV review.
Yes.
For those late to the party, Ted Lasso is a feel-good comedy about an all-American coach, a football coach hired to coach a soccer side in the EPL. It's the master plan of a big blonde booby woman named Rebecca, who wants to drive the club into the ground after she is treated on by her husband and left in control of his prized possession, Richmond FC. Now, what ensues is a tale of winning hearts of the people around you with kindness and empathy and love. Through all of this, Ted battles through a marriage breakdown, paralysing anxiety attacks, the disdain of the British press, and the hatred of the local supporters. Someone even knocks over a coffee cup halfway through an episode.
It was that bad.
That's what happens. That's how realistic this review is. His nickname to the locals is Wanker. That's what they call him.
They called him Wanker.
This bloke walks past him in the street and goes, "Hello, Wanker."
That's a low blow.
It is a low blow. Probably accurate because it's referring to a man. Anyway, he does all this with the support of his friend Beard and Sharon, the mystical club psych. If I'd seen this synopsis written down on a piece of paper, I would have put that bit of paper to good use and taking it to the toilet straight away. But this show works. It's funny and it's life-affirming. I realise this is the second in 2 weeks that I have liked something and I'm losing my edge. So when I make this promise to you, I'll watch The Project during the week and come out all guns blazing next week.
Oh, gold, Rudy. Well,
how many stars?
Made it.
How many
I'm
stars?
Giving it 5 stars.
Yay! You are out of lockdown.
You're on a hat trick.
I've lost my mind.
You're on
I'm in love with the world. I love you all. Goodbye, Todd Sleaton.
104.7 Triple M. He writes jokes for the front bar, and his mates call him Rosie. Oh, please welcome to Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast, Adam Rosenbach.
Oh, Rosie, finally this week you get out of solitary confinement.
Oh, Rude Dits, Loz, I'm excited. The Melbourne lockdown finally ends at 11:59 on Thursday night, but I'll tell you what, I'm heading out at 11:58. I just don't
Rebel.
Where's first stop, Rosie? Where's first stop?
You know what? I'm actually going to look after myself. I'm spending the day. I'm going to get a haircut. I'm having a shave upstairs and downstairs.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to spend the next 48 hours working on forging my vaccine passport so I can get in everywhere.
Beautiful.
I'm ready to go. I'm going to go to the pub for 2 hours and then it stops, because who doesn't love the great Australian tradition of having a few beers, getting on a roll, and then stopping suddenly? That's what we're all about, you know? It's the withdrawal method for drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a bit of an issue.
I have to finish myself off at home. It's not great.
What about the Wiggle? She's pulled up stumps.
Oh, Wiggles are falling apart.
It's not going great, isn't it? Emma Wiggle has decided to call it quits. Emma Watkins, the yellow Wiggle. This has devastated hundreds of children and thousands more dads.
Yep.
She a hottie, is she, Rosie?
But seriously.
Really? Have you not seen her?
I think she'd get, well, I mean, you know, if you go see the Wiggles, there's not a lot on the
choice.
So, you know, how many changes have the Wiggles made over the last few years? Like, the Carlton Footy Club has more stability than the Wiggles.
<isn't> They're rebuilding.
They're all over the shop. They are rebuilding, and they've already replaced her with a new girl called Sehi Hawkins. And I'll tell you who must be dirty, though. It's got to be Captain Feathersword. Like, he's sitting there thinking, why am I never promoted,
yeah.
You know? He's always the medical sub. When's he coming off the bench?
You know? Yeah.
Why is he not Major Feathersword yet? You know, he's been captain for a while. What happened at sea that stopped him from getting promoted?
Rear Admiral. Doesn't sound right, though.
That'll be on 60 Minutes soon, Rosie. Don't worry about that.
No, that's right. And you know what? They're going to have to redo the Uber Eats ads now, because remember they had that famous sort of ads with Simon Cowell from...
Yes. That's right.
I had an issue with those ads, and I don't know whether you would have picked it up, but you know Henry the Octopus, okay? So he was in the ads. They did the joke about calamari, about cutting him up.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
One thing I don't understand about Henry is why does he have two hands and six legs? So it's their choice. They've got six pairs. They've got six shoes on him. Why not four of each? Like, let the guy have four beers and still have four legs.
Yeah.
Okay. That's giving me something to think about for the rest of the day there, Rosie, definitely.
Speaking of beers, now, you've seen this bloke, I presume. You've read about this fella in the UK who's broken the record.
Yeah, so a man called Matt Ellis decided to go across the UK and break the record for the most amount of pubs he went to in one day. He went to 51 pubs. In one day. Yeah.
Great record.
Impressed?
Very.
Yeah, see, I reckon I've broken that record and just can't remember it.
Did he have to drink? He had to drink something everywhere.
He did. He had to drink something, but he drank mostly OJ and Diet Coke when he went there. And I was like, if you're just drinking that, then why not just break the record in OTRs? Like, why does it have to be a pub?
Yeah.
You're not even have a beer and a chaser. Like, do it properly, mate.
Yeah, disqualified, not eligible, I don't think.
Exactly. And clearly none of the pubs had pokies because, you know, once you get on a roll in the pokies, you're not leaving.
And tell us about the mum who got an interesting present.
Yeah, so she got a gift card for her 15-year-old stepson, and it was a $30 Smoke Mart gift card.
What, for a 15-year-old son?
For a 15-year-old. So, you know, he could go in there and he could get himself a third of a pack of Horizons for that, which is not bad.
Pack of tally-ho papers.
I don't mind the idea of, you know, the 15-year-old getting the Smoke Mart gift card. I'd have thought a 15-year-old might have preferred a Crazy Horse voucher.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bit of education.
Really go off.
Yeah, or, that's right.
A lesson in anatomy.
Like, you know, but I think, yeah, that's right. Nothing says stepson like a $30 gift voucher.
Yeah. Thanks, Mum. You're the best, Mum.
Stepmum.
You've always been there for me.
Good on you, Rosie. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
There he is, Adam Rosenbach, the man who writes the gags on the front bar here on Triple M. A major international story that has been leaked to us here at Triple M, Roo.
Yeah, I've heard about this. Mm. So the Queen's been having a bit of a sip. A lot of people in the COVID period have been drinking a little bit much, haven't they? They've been stuck at home in lockdown.
We were told a few days ago that she's been told to slow down a bit, get off the grog.
Well, not just that, Dits. We got good sources because we sent a Triple M reporter over there and actually heard the conversation.
Jeeves, I need you to go and let Her Majesty know that she's drinking too much.
I shan't. I don't want to be the one to tell her.
Well, we've got to do something. She's the 95-year-old Queen of England, and she's drinking like a retired squash player on a boozy punting weekend.
Can't Prince Andrew tell her?
No, Andrew's still locked away in the basement.
Prince Charles, perhaps?
Too busy horsing around with Camilla. Sorry, Camilla. It's all up to you now, Jeeves. Get in there.
Excuse me, Your Majesty.
Stop me now.
Your Majesty, excuse me. Can we turn the music down, please?
Jeeves. Beg your pardon, I am absolutely trolled.
Your Majesty, I've got something very important to tell you.
You've got me a dry martini?
No.
A wet martini?
No, ma'am.
A Dubonnet and gin?
No, Your Majesty.
A G&T?
No, actually...
A couple of shots of cowboy sucker?
No, ma'am. I'm here to ask you to stop drinking.
You want me to stop drinking?
Yes, it's just...
Get in the basement with... with Andrew and turn the music up. Stop me now.
Right, that's what's that took place at over there at the Palace. I think it yesterday.
Palace is going off.
It's rocking.
Good on you, Queen. You're 95 and still rocking. Good on you.
Here we go.
What's your favourite curry, mate?
Vindaloo.
Butter chicken.
What's your favourite curry, mate?
Stephen.
Please welcome to Ruin Dits for Breakfast, Australian acting and comedy legend, Stephen Curry.
Gee, the production team spared no expense with that opening, did they?
So hang on, am I to believe that my surname is also a type of food?
Can you believe that, mate?
Oh.
You haven't
can't
heard those gags.
I went through primary school and I'd never heard that joke.
How are you, Steve?
I'm so great, guys. I'm absolutely brilliant. How are you guys? We're about to open up over here. We're over in Melbourne and is it tomorrow? Well, Friday's open up day or whatever they're going to call it. So I think it's go to the pub and not wear your mask because you're drinking too much beer day or something like that.
Now, Stephen, please take this in the nicest way, but I've got a photo of you in front of me. You're one of those faces that every time we look at you, we just laugh because there's been
God, you didn't say you want a punch.
No. You are, you know, whether it's the castle, whether it's the Toyota as, yeah, there's, I don't know, there are just many, many, many great moments. What a career it's been, and it seems to be a lot of fun as well.
Well, yeah, mate, it is fun. And I do pinch myself every now and then because it's kind of ridiculous that I get to do my hobby as a job and, you know, have a fair few laughs along the way. But, it's one of those things. I sort of fell ass first into it, to be honest. I thank God because I've got zero other skills and zero other interests that could earn me a crust and feed my children. So it's kind of worked out okay.
Now, I don't believe that for a second because some videos have popped up online of you, you know, premiering your other skills. We've got some audio here, I think.
Here we go. Okay. Here we go.
I might tell you that 5G gets your Rona. Getting jabbed with Pfizer's gonna stop you from getting a boner.
Oh God.
Drug use and alcohol have definitely gone up through the COVID period, Steve. What's been happening over there in Melbourne, mate?
Nah, look, I've been stuck in a house with two young boys. The smells, there's something about the smells that they can emanate. That I just need to hide in a room sometimes and write ridiculous songs just to stave off the madness.
All right, now, brand new show, Spreadsheet. This is coming out on Paramount, which is Channel 10's streaming service.
It is.
Tell us about Spreadsheet.
Well, it's great. Lauren, played by Catherine Parkinson, the brilliant Catherine Parkinson,
awesome.
Is recently divorced and she sets up a spreadsheet for some nice, no-strings-attached, guilt-free fun in the boudoir, shall we say.
Oh,
is that what you say?
Special cuddles.
That's special cuddles. Ooh. How does that go with the millennials, that word, special cuddles?
Special cuddles?
Yeah.
Well, that's very radio-friendly way of saying doinking, right?
Isn't doinking, it? Yeah. Right. Doinking, that's a great word.
That's
so she
what
wants
we say.
To do some doinking. She wants to do some strings-free doinking, and then unfortunately my character turns up who likes all the strings and wants the relationship, and it doesn't quite work out.
Can I ask, did she not know about Tinder? Because there is already an app for this.
Well, this is the thing. I think her spreadsheet also, and this in the first episode, comes into where it is a Tinder. She gets them from Tinder, but has to set up the spreadsheet so she can keep a track of them. And this, did you know, this is an autobiographical story from the writer, Kayla Ellis.
Ooh. Wow.
I tell you what, she's very generous.
Wow.
She's very generous in what she divulges. And I'll tell you what, after she got divorced, she really, she went for it.
Okay. Yeah, crack.
Did you record this during COVID or was this something that happened beforehand that's just coming out?
We started filming before the lockdown, actually, before the last lockdown, and then the lockdown happened halfway through it. Like, you've got to keep your mask on and you keep your distance until you're doinking.
Yeah.
And once you're doinking, you know, the only thing we've got between us when you're doinking is, I love that word, it's going to be my new word.
Yeah, I'm going to use it.
Thanks. I'm glad that I could contribute something.
It's brilliant. It's something what they call an intimacy buffer. Right? And that is a cushion.
Yeah.
It's a cushion.
Yeah.
It's a very thin cushion which you place between the two people.
Becomes a pin cushion. Doesn't it?
But the thing is, it's not stuck to anything. So when the doinking increases, the intimacy buffer starts flying around. It's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous.
If you don't have to wear a mask when you're doinking, I'd be doinking more often in COVID.
Yeah. Well, what do they say? You can't give people COVID when you're drinking beer, sipping out of a teacup, or doinking.
There.
Well, there you go. There you go. It's just science, isn't it, Steve?
Drink and doink.
I want to hear Dan Andrews say that.
I'm not a health professional. I just need to say this. I am not a qualified health professional.
Can you get Dan to say that in his next press conference? All right. Hey, Stephen, this sounds like a fun show. We will all be tuning in. It's on Paramount. Yep. Check it out. It's called Spreadsheet. Stephen Curry, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
You.
Enjoy your
doing.
Good
on you, Steve.
Please welcome to Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, Amos Gill.
Oh, our international export. He's over there in the States. Gilly, how are things over there in the US of A?
Bloody fantastic. I've changed my tune this week. I'm a fully fledged American. I'm having a great time.
No, you've turned on us, have you?
You make me sick. Turned.
Are you making America great again?
I'm having the best time. I did a gig this week with Jay Leno.
Oh,
Jay Leno.
You're kidding.
I did see that in your Instagram story, another celebrity that you photographed from afar, zoomed in and tagged.
Did someone pull out, Gilly? Did you get a late call in or something?
He put me on his show. I went there. He was a terrific fella. We spoke about cars for 45 minutes because since he's left the Tonight Show, he does a car show. But, you know, 30-odd years as the Tonight Show guy, he was an iconic fella.
Yeah.
All he wanted to talk to me about was he only knew one Australian, Rove McManus.
What?
You're kidding.
Oh,
no.
What?
No.
What did he say about
the un-Australian Australian.
Well, he goes, oh, so you're a comedian. He goes, oh, I hope you're a funny fella. The only other one I know is Rove McManus. And he did a bit of an eye roll. But he seems to think he liked Rove McManus because he had him on the show. And he asked me how Rove was going, if he still has a big hit TV show. And sort of the flat point in the conversation.
He did an eye roll as well at that point, did you?
He had a great joke, Jay Leno, because the trans issues are big here at the moment because of the Chappelle.
Oh, yeah, Dave Chappelle.
This was Jay Leno's opening gag. He goes, oh, I heard Caitlyn Jenner has an autobiography. Apparently it's a real he said, she said.
Oh. Yeah. Nice, I do like that.
Gilly, you can use that when you get back to Australia. Yeah. That's good.
Tell me, when you see Jay in person, I've always, you know, when I look at him, do you know who I think of with his head?
Who?
Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
It is enormous.
Is it like that in real life?
And his hair is just this white, baked-on sort of Lego head on this enormous wobbling chin, and he wears a beautiful silk suit. You don't know whether it's like because you know he's famous, that he seems iconic, or if he just is an iconic-looking fella.
People in America, like, you know, the celebs and stuff, do they look bizarre? Are they people in America faces more filled with crap and tight and taut and tanned?
Well, I mean, no worse than what you see down on Rundle Street these days.
Working at Triple M.
You've had a few jabs. Haven't you had a few jabs, Gilly?
Right.
Gilly, you've been jabbed up.
Only Pfizer.
Come on. I had a little rumour.
Well, Pfizer does make Botox also.
You're getting ready.
I forgot to tell you this. So I went down to watch Jim Jeffrey's son play baseball. I do, and support the mini league, and... anyway, we look over to the right, and there is Magic Johnson.
The big fella.
You're kidding.
His grandson was pitching against Jim's kid. How do you go with Jim Jeffrey's genetics taking on Magic Johnson's poor Jim's kid? Didn't stand a chance.
You concede at that point, I think.
Jim's son struck out, and he came over. He was a bit upset. And Jim goes, don't worry, mate. It's not your fault. It's my fault. Look at me.
Good answer.
I'm liking some news that I've just seen. This is breaking. I've been on Twitter. I have a little Australian section. Did you see 300 kilos of meth has been busted after it was hidden inside an excavator imported from Hong Kong?
Who would have thought?
It's actually not the first time a digger has been caught with meth in Australia. We all remember the Warradale Barracks Christmas party.
I'll tell you,
I've been around Jay Leno 1 week and I'm funnier.
Now, did you leave a good impression? Have you changed his impression of Australians being that he'd only ever met Rove? Do you think you did the job?
Well, I would love to say yes, but I saw white hair slip out the back of the room the moment I took the stage.
They never stay in watch, do they?
Good on you, Gilly. We'll keep up the good work over there, mate. Do Australia proud.
Keep flying
we'll catch
the flag.
You next week.
See you, legends.
Well done, mate. Good on you.
This is an amazing story, and certainly for anyone listening that has had a child, had a baby, and come back and tried to compete in sport, We're talking about our best ever marathon runner here, Jess Stenson. Now, many know her as Jess Trengoveroo and Loz, but how's this? Has gone away and had little Billy, who Billy's nearly 2 years of age now, has come back to run a marathon and run her fastest ever time.
PB.
In fact, it's the fourth fastest ever by an Australian woman. Jess Stenson, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
My God, what
Super
a run.
Mum.
Hey, that's incredible.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty happy. It's been a long time coming, that marathon, and it was really special to be out there on Sunday.
I just did the sums on it. You ran 2 hours and 25 minutes. Divide that by 42. Every K you ran was 3 minutes and 38. I don't reckon me or Ditz could run 1K at that anymore. That is
no
that's
way. That's flying.
That is flying.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, I've been training for a marathon for a long time. The marathon's just been constantly changing. Initially, it was one in Hamburg last April to try and qualify for the Tokyo Olympics, and then that was cancelled and the Olympics were postponed. So then I set my sights on a marathon in Sydney this year in April, and I got injured, so focused on the Gold Coast Marathon, which was cancelled at the last minute, and then Melbourne, which was postponed. So finally, we got to a start line, and I felt no pressure. I felt mentally strong because I just had been hanging out for that moment for so long. So I just had to hope that my legs would hold my body up in those final kilometres. There was a bit of a steep hill over a bridge at the 41K mark, so that one wasn't fun.
Jess, a few months ago, Roo and I commented on this very show. We saw you out training and you were pushing the pram along. You were going for runs with little Billy in the pram, and we made the comment it'd be the only pram in the world that had to get retreads, I reckon.
Retreads? Didn't need race wheels.
Not retreads. That pram would have done quite a few Ks, I take it. How difficult is it running
one
with a pram?
One lady owner was a bit of misleading.
Yeah, one lady owner's 100,000 Ks.
Yeah, I actually, it's a great running pram, the tool brand, but I found it really awkward, so I didn't actually continue running with the pram for too long because I could see myself doing an injury. I, you know, obviously not being able to use your arms, it's a pretty unfamiliar movement.
Question, Jess, like when you're pregnant, how far into your pregnancy did you run and to, and then when did you stop, and then how long after? G'day, Billy.
Hey, Billy. Oh, how are you, mate?
Good morning, Bill. Mum's... Oh, there you go. Beautiful. When did you start running after you gave birth? Like, when can you stop? When do you have to stop and start, and what's safe and healthy for mums out there listening?
Yeah, the advice has really evolved over the years. So basically, you know, it's safe to exercise, but you just have to go with your own body. And I found that at 14 weeks into my pregnancy, I started getting some pelvic pain. So I actually started doing a lot of just water jogging or swimming sessions and the elliptical trainer from that point onwards. I think I continued to jog a little bit here and there through to about 30 weeks, but Billy flipped into the breech position at that point. Ooh. And I was getting some nasty cramps, so I ended up having a C-section,
right.
Because he was in breech, so it meant my recovery right. was a bit different because I had to sort of recover from the operation. So I didn't really start jogging until around the 6 week mark, and just had to listen
Very
to my body and
yeah, come on,
that is undisciplined.
Apparently,
excuse maker, you don't train hard enough.
I know. apparently, Billy came out running as well when he was born.
God.
Ran around the hospital. So what's next, Jess? What are you going to run in now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm feeling pretty fired up. Like obviously, I'll have my recovery now, but it was just such a buzz on the weekend. I'm sort of wondering. Yeah, what next year will look like. There's the World Championships in Oregon in July, and then 2 weeks later the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. So for marathon runners, they'd have to pick one or the other.
Yep.
I can't imagine too many people running marathons 2 weeks apart. So they're potential options next year. But in the near future, the Melbourne Marathon's in mid-December. I think that one might be a little bit too soon to try and run, but we'll just yeah, see how the coming weeks go.
Now, Jess, just a quick question. I'm feeling very inadequate after listening to you talk about all your achievements. I struggle to run like 3Ks or more than that. Do you have any tips for someone who hits a wall, loses interest? Like, is there some sort of mental trick you can play? Like, what are your tips for like pushing through and keep going?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like involving others. I have a big squad that I train with, and if I'm lacking motivation, I definitely, you know, will just message someone from the team and try and run with them.
I hate
or
getting
even
those messages from you, Jess. I can tell you. I don't answer it. Sorry, my phone was off. Yeah. I was busy.
And the other thing I do when I've got, you know, a 90-minute run to do on my own on a Wednesday morning and I'm just not really feeling up for it, I'll look for a good podcast.
Yeah.
And listen
yeah.
to that.
The Ruined Dits one.
Ruined Dits on Triple
That's right, yes.
Good on you, Jess. You so it's a great Jess. Performance. As we said, the fourth fastest ever by an Australian woman. Amazing. And to think you've done this when you've come back from having little Billy, it's an amazing, it means you've got some bigger runs and better runs coming not far away. So well done. Good on
Hopefully.
You.
Hopefully. Thank you.
There she is, Jessica Stenson here on Triple M.